Hi everyone, welcome back to the Wild Adventures podcast and the second last episode of season one. Apologies for the delay in getting this out to you guys. My day job has taken over and it's been absolutely amazing, but not left much time for editing. On the bright side, I've already started interviews for the next season and I'm really excited about showing you the updates that we've got coming along. So for lucky episode number 13, we're actually talking to a childhood teacher of mine who really influenced me a lot when I was growing up and meant a lot to me, still does mean a lot to me. Not using her name, protection. Don't worry, she does not a spy or anything. but because she requested it, we're not mentioning her name, but she is an amazing teacher. And she meant a lot to me growing up and really helped me through some difficult times when we moved to Sweden. So this is an episode where we talk about dating, about being an expat, about moving continents. And she actually just gives me some pretty good dating advice, actually. So teachers never stop teaching. Really hope you enjoy the episode, guys. So good to see you too.
Oh my gosh, it's a long time. But it's like no time has passed.
I think I might actually cry.
Oh, I love you. I'm so happy to see you.
I'm so happy to see you too. You're right. It feels like just yesterday, but still ages ago. I know. Oh my gosh.
I know. I was thinking about it. I was like, God, that was 2002.
Jesus.
I know.
That's a long time ago.
I know it. Marlene, that was 2002. I think, yeah, I left for London in 2002.
Wow. It's 18 years. We're a whole group. We're a new adult.
I know it. I know it. I was like your age then. I mean, maybe, how old are you now?
I'm 13 now.
Oh my gosh. I was younger than you are. I think I was 24 or 25 when I first met you.
Wow. You're the coolest teacher.
Stop. That's so funny. I always thought you were so cool. In fact, I used to use you as an example. If I ever had kids, I would say, I had this one student named Marlene. I would talk about you. I said, I had this one student named Marlene. And, you know, she grew up in Zimbabwe or Zambia. And I said, you know, she went to boarding school for a long time. And she was just so chill. Like, and I remember thinking, like, you were just so well adjusted. And I always would say, you know, when I date someone, like, I want my kids to go to boarding school because I want them to be as, like, cool and well adjusted as Marlene was. I really would.
I love that.
Yeah. It's true.
Oh, that's made my heart sing. Thank you.
Yeah, it's true.
I am telling my parents this. You thought I was well adjusted. They can't hold anything against me now.
No. And then I just look at, like, the stuff that you're doing, like, all the amazing artwork. And you have so much talent. In fact, I want to invite you over to, like, make my, I'm moving.
Yeah.
So, and I was actually, before I got on the phone, I was looking at furniture and stuff like that where I'd want for my new place. And I was like, God, I need Marlene to come over and just, like, set it up. Cause I look at your place with all the cool lights and all the paintings. And I mean, I'm totally serious.
I would love that. I can try to give advice from a distance, but yeah, I love doing interior design stuff.
That's so cool. You own a piece of Edinburgh, right?
Yeah
that's pretty cool. All my friends, I had a couple of friends who I talked to. Remember, we were hopefully before this whole COVID thing. And a lot of them were like, oh my God, can I go? And I'm like, well, you know, I don't really want to descend upon, you know, my friend with like 20 people, and they're like, well, that would be so awesome. Like, she lives in Edinburgh. She's so lucky. And Like, I know. It's pretty cool. And I know her.
So excited.
Yeah. No, it has this like total romance state, like romantic vision. And especially now that Outlander has come out.
Yes.
Oh my God. Jamie is so hunky. Like, do you love him too?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, completely, 100%. He's like, drool, so much drool.
After that show, I was like, I want to move there and meet Jamie and get married to him. I want to go back in time. I want to touch some stones and go back in time.
Yes, please. That would be good.
I know, it seems like perfectly reasonable that would happen. You know, like, touch some stones and go back, you know, 200 years. Well, it's funny how they just show up. Like, this guy, who would have thought that you would have reconnected? And I mean, I don't know if I told, I don't know why I would have told you this, but there was, it was so random, Marlene. I had just broken up. I just got my relationship and I was thinking, no, I was in a relationship with this guy who basically, he asked me to live with him. He had kids, like younger kids. Mm. And he was like, well, you know, you don't have to work. You know, I like it if you're here around for the kids. And he totally set me off my feet. And I was like, okay, you know, which was so dumb. Don't ever do that. And so within about 6 months or 7 months, I started hating him, but I loved his kids.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, just stuff about him, like he would, you know, the whole fact that I wasn't working, he would use that against me, you know, like, and he made plenty of money, but he would just be really passive aggressive about it. And so, but I was really close to his kids, but I finally thought, like, I had a heart to heart with my dad, and he was like, look, you can't stay with somebody just because you like their kids. Like, you have to love the guy.
No.
So I got out of that relationship and I hated, I was so relieved to be back to, you know, taking care of myself financially free. Again and free.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way I want to be with me. I'm so done. I'm so happy to be just my own person. And then it was the weirdest thing. Like, 2 years prior, my dad had been flying. So my brother lives in Northern Norway, and my dad had been flying from Oslo to San Francisco. And he was sitting next to this guy on the plane, and the big, tall, handsome Norwegian man. And the guy goes, hey, you want to meet the Prince of Norway? He's sitting right over there. And my dad's like, okay. So he introduces him to the Prince of Norway. And then it turns out this guy's a media personality in Norway, the guy that he's talking to.
Yeah.
So my dad has this great conversation with him on the flight from Oslo to San Francisco. And then he goes, he gets his card and he tells this guy, oh, my daughter lives in San Francisco, you know. And the guy goes, oh, I visit there a lot. And he said, give her my card. So this was back when, like, if you remember when Facebook, you could send a message if you didn't know somebody, but it would go to their other box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I wrote to this random guy. I'm like, oh, why not? So I wrote to him and I'm like, hey, you know, my dad says he met you on a plane and, you know, that you come to San Francisco, you know, look me up or whatever. And I didn't think any, I mean, I'm like, he's a media personality. He probably has like tons of women writing to him all the time.
Yeah.
And so literally 2 years later, so just after I'd gotten out of this relationship with this guy where I was like, never again, I'm done. This guy emails me 2 years after he met my dad, 2 years. He just magically appeared on my computer and he goes, hey, I saw there's this other inbox. I didn't even know it existed.
He hadn't seen it.
He hadn't seen it for 2 years. And he goes, I'm actually coming to San Francisco this summer. And he goes, and so we start this like romance online. And then we met up and then we had this like hot and heavy summer romance. And then he's trying to get me to move to Oslo. This was like, I don't know, 6 years ago, maybe. He's trying to get me to move to Oslo. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm really happy here, but you know, let's see how it goes. So then he flew me out to South Beach, Florida. And we spent the like a long, like 3 weeks together. And I mean, he was definitely a media personality. He was total narcissist, like narcissist with a capital M. And we ended up like being, you know, we're still friends, but there was no way I was getting, but it was just interesting. Like my whole point of telling you that story is that you never know like what's going to land, like, or like, what's like going to land, like literally in your computer. I don't know if I ever told you this. I don't think this was really weird. When I was a kid, my dad let me, he let me decorate my room. It was a big deal. They said, you can decorate your room. I was like 8. You can decorate your room however you want, but you have to be able to, if you get a poster, you can pick out 2 posters, but they have to be framed. And I said, okay. So I don't know why, Marlene, but I picked out a poster of Copenhagen and of London and framed them. Yeah. And they were hanging in my room for at least 3 or 4 years. And then like 20 something years later, I moved to a city just across the water from Copenhagen. And then I moved to London. Mm. So, you know, it's weird. Like, was it because those were like, did I manifest that? Was I seeing something ahead of time? Like, I don't know. Mm. It's very strange.
And I learned I read once that daydreaming is your soul's way of testing possible futures.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool.
I know, right? Yeah. I can't remember where I read it. And I tell everyone this.
I have to write that down.
As soon as, it's so good. And as soon as I realized that, I was like, oh, okay, I'm okay to daydream like weddings and whatnot and futures, because it's just my soul trying to test out what life would be like with that person if it worked out.
Well, and sometimes you fall in love with somebody, you know, somebody who, I mean, this has happened to me, somebody who I'm like, no, like I would never have thought, I mean, they didn't turn me off, but I just wasn't like, I didn't ever think about them. And then I got to know them and how they handle stress or how they handle this and how kind they are. And then, oh my God, I'm like in love with that. You know, like they're so cool. Yeah. I mean, so, and you know, honestly, Marlene, you're so, I understand, like we all have insecurities. And I understand that, but like, you're so pretty and you have so much going for you. And that's like people who make them, like, if you think about who you like to spend time with, it's the people who make you feel good. Right.
Yeah.
And so,
exactly.
And so a guy, you know, I understand, like there've been times when I haven't felt very good about myself, or I felt out of shape, or I felt whatever, but I'm always surprised. Like, you know, it's usually like those times when I met someone it's weird. And it's not when I'm like all hot, like in like all, you know, dressed up and, you know, my like thinnest, most fit way. It's always when I feel dumpy or gross and true. And I'm like, what in the world? And then these guys just come out of nowhere. And I think it's because they just, instead of being focused on, for me, I was thinking maybe instead of being focused on myself and what I'm looking like or how I'm being, I'm just being myself, and that makes people feel comfortable. If you feel comfortable around someone, then you want to be around them and you feel good about yourself. So we're all kind of like mirrors for other people in a way. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
It does. It makes total sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I don't know. I hope you don't, I mean, you, I don't want to like tell you what you should think or what you should do, but I just, you know, I'm sure your mom would probably say the same thing, but like, I always felt like it just happens. It has nothing to do with appearance. Your mom was such a comfort to me in Sweden. Like we'd go on walks and I felt a little bit lost in Sweden. It was very different for me. It was cold and people were a little bit more
cold.
Yeah, they were really nice. I mean, some of my closest friends I've made were in Sweden because they were so genuine. But you know, coming from California where people are so chatty, people are really chatty here. And then, you know, going there, it was just, I felt really lonely a lot of the time. And the darkness was hard.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about the decision to actually go to Sweden. What was the build up to actually ending up going there and having that poster of Copenhagen come to real life?
That was weird. I mean, I think I told you before, it was like a really superficial reason. My brother was in medical. So when I was in high school, we had a Swedish exchange student and I became friends with her.
Yeah.
And I introduced her to my brother, and my brother had been like super like popular in high school. He was 2 years ahead of me. So with my senior year and this Swedish exchange student, she was a beautiful girl and didn't have a date to homecoming, which you have to have a date to homecoming. And I think with the guy, you know, by your senior year, everybody knows everybody. And I think the guys just didn't want to go out of their comfort zone and ask her.
Yeah.
So, my mom and I ended up like begging my brother to take this beautiful Swedish girl to homecoming. And he's like, I don't want to, like, I don't want to be like a high school Harry, and, you know, but we're like, no, just take her. So he did. And they ended up having this big romance for like a whole year. And then he ended up going to medical school in Lund because of her.
Mm.
And so, I was 2 years behind him. So he had been there, and I just got my teaching credential, and I'd had a few interviews in Los Angeles, and I was like 23, and I'd went out to visit my brother in the spring. I was kind of looking for jobs, and I went out to visit him, and he's in medical school, and he, you know, went to all these fun parties with him and his like super cute medical school friends. And it was almost like you said, like you manifest things. Like I was there and I remember thinking, I want to live here. This is really cool. This is fun. And this is like all these cute guys all around. It was so superficial. And then I literally had that thought when I was there. I was like, I totally want to live here and experience this. And so then I was just about to take a job in LA, and then my brother called me and he goes, hey, there's this school in Helsingborg that's hiring credentialed teachers, and they're looking for a credentialed English speaking teacher, and it's an international school. He said, you ought to apply. And I was like, okay. So I applied, and I talked to the guy who was doing the hiring, and then I talked to Roseanne McCormick.
Yeah.
and they go, you're hired. And I'm like, nice. Okay. And it was just going to be, I didn't think too far ahead. I just thought, well, this will just be a year of fun, you know, a year of like working abroad. And yeah, I was 23, and then I'll figure out what to do after that. And I went and it ended up being 3 years.
Wow.
So, it was just like 1 year, like the first year was just really getting to know people and getting to kind of know Sweden. And I was ready to leave, but then the spring came and it was so pretty. It was like, every winter I was like, I am getting out of here. And then every spring it'd be so beautiful.
So Sweden in a nutshell.
Yeah, totally. And the people were really kind, you know, but it was hard to get to know people. But my main friends really were from the international community. And then I made some very good Swedish friends, you know, some through my brother and his friends, and then a lot through the school.
Yeah. I mean, once you do have a Swedish person as a friend, they are your friend for life, generally. It's just getting to know them is really, really hard because their social ranks are so closed, and it's so hard to like getting into a new social circle without being like pre-vetted by another Swedish person. But yeah, once they're your friend. Yeah.
That's a really good way to put it. Cause I, you know, I moved to London after that, and then I would meet Swedish, I met some Swedish people in London too, and they stayed really good friends as well. And yeah, so some of my very closest friends are Swedes. And
yeah,
that's really true about it. It's like, once you make it in, you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
you never learned. I never learned Swedish.
No. Yeah, you didn't lose anything out on that, don't worry.
I don't know, I feel so ashamed though. I feel like as the American who moved and never learned Swedish. But I would try, and then they would start like in the morning. I would go to one of those, you know, in the train station where you'd go and buy coffee and rolls or something. Yeah. And I would, every morning I'd try, and I'd go and speak, and the lady there knew me, and she would just speak back in like perfect English, like with an American accent. I'd go to dinner parties like with like 20 people, like these medical school dinner parties where all the cute medical school boys were, and oh my god, they were so cute, and they'd all switch to English for me, and then I'd be like, you guys stop, this is so embarrassing, generally. And like, no, it's just easier.
And then
another thing that was interesting about Sweden is the dating. Like, I don't know if it's still holds true, but like, guys don't ask you on dates there. Like they, I remember some guy bought me a drink at a bar, and my friend goes, "Oh my God, he wants to marry you." What are you talking about? And she goes, men don't buy drinks for women here.
No. Friends don't even buy drinks for friends in Sweden. Everyone has their own drinks. There is no such thing as buying around in Sweden.
I was astounded. I'm like, what are you talking about? And there were so many misconnections. Like, there were a couple misconnections just because I didn't know that a guy was asking me out because they were so not obvious about it. And then afterwards, like when I got to know them better, they're like there's one guy who I got to know, and he actually came out to San Francisco for some business thing like years ago, and he goes, "I totally had a crush on you." And I'm like, "What? If I had known, we would be married by now." You know, he's married and happy and everything. But I'm like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I never tried to date in Sweden. I couldn't do it. I mean, my dating life was like Australia, then Scotland. I never did any dating in Sweden. I think I did when I was like a teenager. I had one or two or something, but never dated in Sweden. But I'm oblivious when anyone likes me. I'm like a guy, you have to hit me on top of the head and say, "I like you." Otherwise, I don't get it. I don't see it. I just think people are being nice. Well, but in Sweden, I couldn't do it because they're too, they're so almost shy. And I need someone that will like go, "All right, I'm flirting with you now. Do you want to go out?"
Yes.
And that's so against Swedish people completely.
Why do you think, hold on, I'm plugging in. Sorry. I feel like I'm losing battery. Why do you think that they're like that? I always thought it was because the women, like I would be carrying big heavy suitcases off the train and no guy would lift a finger to help me. And I'm like, God, you guys are so rude. But then I don't think it was just rude. I think it was that they thought that they, you know, would be insulting to me if like I couldn't do it myself.
Yeah. So my perception of Sweden when it comes to that whole chivalry thing is that they've completely forgotten it, because Sweden doesn't have any real world issues, right? It's a very insulated, protected community. So they can blow things out of proportion. So my own personal opinion is that Swedish people took feminism to the nth degree, where they took away any man's right to do anything that would be perceived as chivalrous, and turned it into the man thinking the woman wasn't strong enough to do it themselves. So that's what I think it is chivalry just is not a thing in Sweden. because it's now misconstrued as a male trying to dominate a woman, as opposed to a guy just being kind and helping a chick out without it being anything other than that.
That's what I thought too. And that's what a few of my, you know, my sister and my brother's wife told me, and my brother told me the same thing. And it was kind of a rare guy, it was more of like the international Swedish guy who, you know, one who'd studied abroad, who would be a little bit more forward.
Yeah.
But they're so cute. And I mean, like, ultimately, like, if you were to date one, they would probably make great partners, you know, because they are so equal. But just getting there is like, oh my God. I think I had like a bunch of near misses with dating guys there, but nothing ever happened because I'm like, I can't tell. Like, I don't know. Like, what do you want? Like, are you so, but, and then afterwards I'd hear, oh yeah, so and so liked you. And I'm like, well, why didn't he tell me that?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not gonna like jump him, you know, like, but that would just, and especially coming from the U.S., you know, in the U.S., like, men are really forward. If they want to date you, they ask you out on a date. They're not afraid to. so it was just different. It was really different.
So what was it like going from Sweden to London?
It was really cool, actually. I kind of felt, again, and this isn't anything bad about Sweden, but London just felt really, like, when I landed in London, so I was originally going to go home, come back to San Francisco after Sweden. And then I did a stopover in London to visit a friend of mine who was there on business. And I went out with her and a bunch of her friends who she went to business school with, who were living in London. And we went to this cool members bar. And I was like, this is fun. Why wouldn't I live in London? And so I just applied for a job there and I got it. And it was another one that was just meant to be, you know, where you talk about divine timing. I remember I went there, I went to a job interview and my hotel room was 7777.
Oh, wow.
I know. Isn't that dope?
For anyone that doesn't know what it means, 777, good signs from the universe.
It was four sevens. It was four sevens on my hotel room.
It means it's
room.
Meant to be. Yeah.
I know. Ever since then, seven has been, like, if I see seven, I'm like, boom, that's it. But yeah, and so I interviewed, and it was my first interview, and they offered me the job, and, like, I didn't even think about the cost of living. I was just like, okay, I'm doing it. And like, the minute I landed there, I was like, I just wanted to, like, plant roots in the sidewalk and just grow roots. I just, even, like, London was hard. You know, it was a challenging city in a lot of ways, but in a lot of ways, like, it contributed to so much growth and independence and really, like, kind of fighting for yourself. It's not an easy city, is it?
No. I couldn't survive London. It's too rushed and people rushing everywhere. It's like you can't breathe. I like the slower paced cities.
I don't know, though. I mean, well, I can't tell you what you would like, but I thought it felt like being in the middle of the, like, of everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It felt like being in the center of the world, and I was a part of it, and it felt so exciting. And just, like, everywhere you'd go, you'd meet someone fascinating, because everyone who goes there is at the top of their game.
Yeah.
And the dating was just unfreaking believable. Like, it was like literally. I mean, at that time in my life, I mean, I was like 26, you know, I think of it, I was 26 to 33, and it was just literally like rushing men off your shoulders, like dandruff. Like, I couldn't go anywhere without some guy asking me on a date. It was awesome. And I had a boyfriend at the time, and I'm like, I don't think I can have a boyfriend, because it was like too much fun to keep meeting all these people. And, that sounds terrible.
I love it. It's great.
Yeah. And my boyfriend was great. Like, he was such a nice guy. And if I'd met him maybe a little bit later, it would have been perfect. But at that time, it was just so fun. And, but it was a lot of work. Like, I was working at a school there, and I mean, everybody, like, it moves at such a fast pace. So
even teaching at a school there. I mean, it was high pressure. Mm. And the parents who sent their kids there were like, and I'm not joking, like they were like leaders of like they were ambassadors, or they were Academy Award winners,
yeah,
or, you know, heads of banks and things like that. And so, you know, they, like I was teaching fourth grade, and they wanted their kids to go to like, they were talking about how they wanted their kids to go to Oxford and Yale and all that. I'm like, your kid's in fourth grade, you know.
Let them be kids.
Yeah. And they were really intense, and I was pretty young, and some of them were really intimidating, but then again, some of them I'm still friends with them on Facebook, and yeah, like the parents and the kids too, yeah, have found me, and I'm like, wow, I thought I was just like one of the servants, you know. No. They found me, and they remember, and it made me realize like the international school life really is it's like a family, like, yeah, they, you know, kids for that.
Yeah. So that was, and you were always very memorable as well. I loved having you as a teacher. I even remember being in the lunchroom and seeing how you only used your fork, like you never used a knife. And I'd been taught like prim proper knife fork techniques at boarding school, and you only ever used a fork. So I was like, she's so cool, I want to be able to do that too. So I learned how to like eat with only my fork.
No, that was so, my friends would tell me, they're like, Lori, that's really rude. You're going to have to learn how to use a knife and a fork. And I'm like, but we don't do that. And we do that now, because especially in the Bay Area, people do, but I don't know. That's so funny that you noticed that.
I thought you were the most amazing teacher as well. I remember first year in Sweden, I was really sad and I went to a Swedish school. But then I met you, and you were like my first teacher-ish, and it was just like having this like ray of sunshine after being really sad for a whole year. And then you just seemed to like light the room up. Like you made things so much fun, and it was like school was fun and easy again. And there was like someone to look up to, and you always talked to me and stuff. And it was just, I loved having you as a teacher.
Thank you so much. That means so much. It really does. Thank you.
You're the reason I took on a Californian accent for ages and took ages to get rid of it as well.
Oh my God. I was going to say you have such a Scottish accent now. I don't remember that.
No, I had such an American one for such a long time. And I kept getting asked, are you from America? I was like, no. And then I would tell them all about you. I'd be like, I had this teacher that I really loved, and so I took on all of her mannerisms. And now everyone asks me if I'm from the States, but I'm not. I've never been.
I bet your mom and dad were horrified. They were probably like, get rid of that accent.
They weren't. I eventually was like, okay, I've got to do something about this.
I started
like teaching myself to go back to like my old British way of speaking. And then eventually I was like, stuff it. Because then when I moved to Australia, I got an Australian accent. So if I speak to family in Australia, especially if I've had a couple of drinks, I go straight into like this broad Aussie accent. So that's when I realized, this is 9 years ago, I realized there's no point in fighting it. Whatever comes out, comes out.
And you then, probably have so many different ages. Accents inside yeah. of you.
And it changes depending on who I'm talking to, how much I've had to drink, how excited I am.
That is, do you ever, because I have a girlfriend who, she's from California, but she went to a boarding school in England. Mm. And at first I thought she was schizophrenic because I didn't know that she went to boarding school in England. And I saw her one time, she had this American accent. And the next time I talked to her, she had this British accent. And I'm going, oh my God, who are you? Like, now suddenly you have British, I thought she was crazy.
Yeah.
And then I found out that she had, you know, it just kind of, she couldn't switch it off. She yeah. didn't, you know, just depended.
It just happens naturally.
Does that happen to you? Where people are yeah. like, where are you from?
Yep, I go all the time. I think now I finally found an accent that kind of works for me. That's my natural one, which is this one. But yeah, every once in a while, something else comes out. I'm like, I have no idea where that came from.
That is so funny. I know you have. You've lived everywhere.
A lot of places.
I should be interviewing you. Yeah.
I'm going to have to do it. Lots of people keep saying, when are you going to do a podcast about yourself? Like, when is your episode? I'm like, I'll think about it. And another friend went, can I interview you? I was like, oh, fine. Okay. And then I realized, like, through talking to people, people keep asking me questions. So I'll be able to do like one podcast episode where it's like all these different people have interviewed me and asked me questions. And that could go into one episode.
Been an amazing life. I mean, I think that you are really inspiring, and you're only 30. Yeah, I think, like, I really, like I said, I mean, going back to the beginning, when I have been with people thinking about getting married and possibly having kids, and we talk about, well, how we want to raise a kid, I literally was like, well, I had this really cool kid as a student who, you know, and I would refer to you and how just so super cool and well adjusted, and you just kind of were able just to go with the flow, and I just was like, that's the kind of kid I would want. I'd want to give my kid the gift of feeling at ease in the world.
Yeah. We definitely had that. Yeah, like, you always know, no matter where you end up in the world, you will just make it work. And it is one gift that I've really appreciated that mom and dad gave us, is the ability to just kind of fake it till you make it, or find a way to fit in. And it's, yeah, having that ease with when you find friends and how you fit into society, or make your own space.
Gosh, I hope we, you know, let's talk again. I love this. Like, it's so wonderful to see you. And you're such an important person. I mean, you were a kid when I knew you, but you were still like a friend. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. Your whole family, you know, like, you can be friends with a kid and just be like, God, they're a cool kid. You know?
Yeah. I always thought of you as a friend. I'm like, I love it when I'm like, I talked to Lori today. Like, when we first started talking again, first thing I did was call mom. I was like, guess who I'm talking to?
Oh my God. Well, I felt the same way. I was like, oh my God, this is so neat. And like, whoever would have thought at that time that we would have been able to get in touch, like with Facebook and everything. Yeah. So that was so exciting, and just connecting again.
Oh, I love this. It was so nice to hear your story about London and Sweden and guys. You've given me such good, valuable advice on stuff like that. It's really exciting.
Really? Because honestly, it was more like just boy driven than anything.
That is an important message to share as well. Whatever is out there.
it was just like, I want to go where there's cute guys I can date and have a really good time. And, you know, like, that's literally how shallow it was. And but then it's legend. Great. But I will defend, London turned into more, like, I did the history and everything, really, and the people I met were valuable in shaping me as a more, like, thoughtful person, both in Sweden and London, you know.
You learn so much. I think moving for the chance of a love interest is perfectly reasonable. I would totally do that. It's crossed my mind so many times. I'm like, I love Southern Hemisphere guys. They just have all of the values that I value. So somewhere from that line down, I have considered moving to, for the prospect of meeting the one.
You know what? You just never know. Like, exactly. I mean, or just, yeah, just move just for fun. And then I think for me, like, if you just move because you want to, like, if you have a calling, and I mean, London, yeah, there was a guy, but it was just almost a calling. Like, I just wanted to be part of that vibrancy, and it ended up being one of the most fun times of my entire life. And there's been a lot of fun times since then, but it was a real growing period.
Yeah.
So, and I know you're only 30. You've got so much time, Marlene. Like,
I know, I'm still a baby.
You're still a child. You're just like, I'm adolescent, like barely out of the womb.
hope you guys enjoyed that episode. As always, I loved talking to her and loved doing yet another story to bring to you guys about expat community and taking life by the horns and creating your own adventures. There's no links in the show notes today, guys, so just enjoy your days. Have a fabulous weekend when it comes, because I'm releasing this on Monday. Is it Monday today? I think it is Monday. So have a very good week, and hopefully, knock on wood, you will have the last episode this week. So in the meantime, enjoy life, and I shall talk to you soon.